Well, good morning and welcome to our church service here at Great Shelford Free Church. We're so glad that you could join us, whether you are watching live now as a little gathering or you're finding time during this week to join us. It's good to be together as a fellowship, and we mark that today as we gather here on Sunday morning just past 10:30. We would love, if you do have any prayers, to mark them in the comments, and towards the end of the service, we kind of gather them up. So please do mark something in there, and we can share that together as a church fellowship. You might remember, we still have the food bank drop-off box outside the church. It's there 24/7 in the middle of the night. You can come and drop off some food that goes to the John Huntingdon Food Bank in Sawston. So please do remember that that's there. Do also have a look on our website. There's some links to the Roots and Shoots Bible studies that Richard Renouf is doing. And then every week I do at least one or two little prayer videos as well that hopefully will be some encouragement. So please do have a look on the website for those. We're currently in the middle of our prayer weekend. Thank you, Bismarck, for heading this up for us. There's still time this afternoon to mark a bit of space, set some time aside just to pray. And then this evening, Bismarck will be finishing our prayer weekend at 8 o'clock on Zoom, where we'll gather some of those reflections, some of those thoughts together, and that'll be on Zoom this evening. I just need to give notice on Monday the 22nd, we're having a church members meeting. It's been in the link for a few weeks now. This is via Zoom only, so we're not having people in the building. If you're a member, please do put it in your diary. We promise it's going to be nothing like the Hanforth Parish Council meeting. If you've watched that video online, it's nothing like that. It's good-humoured. We enjoy just sharing where we're going as a church, opportunities for members to get involved, to understand what's going on, and for us to think and pray about the year ahead. So that's the 22nd on Monday evening. Well, Sarah's going to open our time of worship this morning. So over to Sarah.
Good morning, everyone. Let's worship together.
Him the Lord of hell and
Now it's time to join Diana and Clive.
Hello, everyone. It's good to be here together. Yes, it is. And isn't it lovely to see the signs of spring on its way? Looking round the garden, there are snowdrops in flower, and we have crocuses and cyclamen too. You like daffodils best? Yes, I like daffodils too. But we haven't got any flowering in the garden yet, although they are growing. We've got some in the house. Yes, we have. Do you like daffodils? They're your favourites. They're so bright and cheerful. They are indeed. They make your heart feel glad. Mine too. Have you ever looked closely at a daffodil flower? Was that a sneeze? Bless you. But try not to put your face right into the flower next time. Then the pollen might not go up your nose. The central petal in a daffodil is called a trumpet. It looks like a trumpet. Yes, it does. A trumpet surrounded by a collar of petals. The flowers open and the trumpet points upwards and outwards towards the light. And it reminds me of a trumpet heralding the spring and singing praise to God. If you listen carefully, maybe you will hear it. Well, maybe you will. Now, Clive, do you know what else I've got here? Is it cake? No, I'm afraid not. Are they daffodils? They are miniature daffodils. Are they the ones we planted before Christmas? Yes, they are. Look at them now. They're growing tall. Yes. And when we planted them, they looked all dry and shriveled. They looked dead. But they weren't. Because when we planted them and watered them and put them in a cool, dark place, they grew. And now they have grown. No flowers yet. Not yet, but there is some flower buds and that one is nearly open. And soon they will be like the other daffodils. You can't wait to see them. No. You know, we're a bit like that. What, like a daffodil? Yes. You see, when we're planted and rooted in Father God, we grow. Even when everything around us might seem dark and cold, we keep growing. Sometimes only slowly, but when we flower, like a shining beautiful light for everyone to see. That's something beautiful and wonderful. Yes, it's quite remarkable. And when we're planted in God with others, like being part of church, yes, like being part of church, then just like these daffodils, we grow together. We support one another and encourage one another. And then when the flowers come, there's not just one beautiful flower, but a whole host of flowers, all giving praise and glory to God. So we're not supposed to be on our own. Sometimes we have to be for many different reasons. But just as seeing a host of daffodils together is an inspiring sight. So when we grow together, we can shine more brightly than when we're on our own. So we need each other. Yes, and that's the way God made us, to help one another, to support one another, to encourage one another, and to grow together as we grow closer to him. But it's time for us to say goodbye now. Does that mean it's time for cake? Yes, but we'll say goodbye first. So it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from Clive, and we'll see you again next time. Keep looking out for those signs of spring. Goodbye.
Gathered.
Welcomed.
Celebrated.
Restored.
Gathered together.
Encouraged.
Supported.
Loved.
Reminded who God is.
Hearts awed by His majesty.
Eyes seeing fresh.
The wonder of grace.
Thankful for His awesome, unwavering love.
Reminded who I am.
And all I have received.
Challenged.
Equipped.
Renewed.
Commissioned.
Ready.
Sent.
If we're going to be fruitful when we're scattered on our front lines for the long haul, then we need to be faithful as we're gathered together. To continue to have an impact, we need to stay strong and encourage one another. We ultimately need one another as Christians. As we thought ourselves as little red dots scattered in our worlds, they are connected, our gathered lives and our scattered lives are important. The Bible has so much to say about our relationships as the people of God. There are so many passages to choose from. This morning we're looking at Hebrews 10, and it starts with God, not us. It starts with the good news of Jesus Christ. That seems to be a fitting conclusion to our series. Our lives are lived in response to that which God has first done through Christ. We gather to encourage one another, to remind one another about the full story of the gospel that we've been invited into. And as a consequence, to equip one another for our daily lives. Scattered matters, and our gathered matters as well.
The reading today comes from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. A call to persevere. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Well, thank you, Maria, for reading that passage to us. And I think as we come to the end of our series, looking at us being on the front line, it's significant to notice that our passage from Hebrews highlights that we need one another as Christians. our times together as church are our greatest opportunity to envision each other, to encourage each other to be God's disciples in our world. What we practice together as a church community is what we ultimately live out in our everyday lives. They are one and the same thing. We shouldn't be two different people when we gather and when we leave our time together. We also don't come together to escape the world, but rather support each other, inspire each other, and stand together as God's community. We can help one another. Firstly, we can help one another hold on to the hope together. As a church family, we need to help one another hold on to our faith. There are many things that tempt us to give up on following Christ, or at least grow cold in our faith. The writer of Hebrews encourages us in three ways. First, he urges us to draw near to God. In the Old Testament, this was done by the priests. It was their job. They separated out that purpose. But here, 2,000 years later in Great Shelford, ultimately anyone can come to God because of what Jesus did on the cross. We gather in this building not because we own it, but because, or even because it has nice underfloor heating that we're appreciating here this morning. But because this building helps us gather together to minister to each other, we can draw near to God wherever we find ourselves. We don't need this building to come close to God. We need somewhere to be together. Secondly, we have, the writer of Hebrews says, complete assurance of our faith. I wonder, does it feel like that for you today? Do you wake up with complete assurance of your faith? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But as we focus on who Jesus is, we discover that we're a result of what he's done for us. Faith can often feel like a fleeting thing, always coming and going, ups and down. I think if we're to be honest about our struggles, it's important that, I think we have to be a people who are honest about our struggles with our faith. I think it's a lot more attractive to the community, to people outside, if we're honest about the realities of walking with God. We understand that we all have doubts in different times in our lives. I was encouraged this week to think about doubt not being the opposite of faith. We can have a great life of faith and ultimately suffer crippling doubts. Some of the greatest women and men of faith have carried doubts with them. I mentioned previously that Mother Teresa experienced decades of doubt in her life. It was revealed in letters after she died. In one letter to a trusted spiritual director, she wrote this: "Darkness is such that I really do not see, neither with my mind nor my reason, the place of God in my soul is blank. There is no God in me." There was a great woman of faith, but also a great woman of doubt. Faith isn't destroyed by doubt. Faith and doubt can be good bedfellows. They're part of our wrestling and understanding who God is. We're called to hold something of that mystery of faith close to our hearts, not be a people of arrogant certainty. We are keepers of a mystery, a precious story, not an arrogant certainty. Thirdly, we read that we experience peace as we come with things that weigh heavy on our hearts. We come together as the gathered church. Well, not today, because the building only has our family in it. But we come together on the live stream to share collectively something of God's story for us. We share our burdens with one another, just as we should do. It's something that Christians should do. We should bear our burdens with one another. Just like English people like talking about the weather, we as Christians should come and share together. It's what happens when we should be together. Even when we're on Zoom or on the computer, we should share with one another. Sometimes, sorry, I'm getting a little bit confused in my notes. Let me just squeeze on. I would encourage us as Christians, if we're not in a situation where we can share our burdens with others, something in our walk with God has to change. It can't be the case that we're not able to share with one another. The Christian walk isn't a solo trek. Rather, it's a collective. It's a gathering. And ultimately, we can help one another. We can spur one another to love and good works. That's what the passage goes on to say. Spur in this passage is a really strong word. It's the idea of inciting, provoking someone. It's a strange word linked with love and good works, but we're to provoke each other to love and good works. But its strength suggests the importance of helping one another to live out our faith on our front line. We can grow weary of loving people. Our good works can turn into bitterness and good works. Can be manipulation and good works. Can be self-interest and good works, or boredom and good works. We can look to please people rather than love them. But love is the foundation. Otherwise, we're just a group of people gathered together doing good stuff. Love is what keeps us from growing weary. It's what protects us when people are ungrateful or try to manipulate our works. It stands up when our best efforts may not seem to change or lead to lasting change. It stops us from giving up or becoming self-centered. The writer of Hebrews recognized that we can help one another by testing everything with love. Love can be the litmus test. If our actions aren't motivated by love for others, we're just a clanging cymbal when we should be a majestic orchestra. I wonder if right now we just need to check our hearts this morning. Are they receptive to God's love, or has some bitterness hardened by the worries of the world crept in? It can be so easy to let things build up within our hearts. I wonder if you have some things going around your head this morning that impact how you deal with others, stopping you from loving others. And finally, we can help one another by meeting together, by keep meeting together. This material is written pre-COVID, but the truth is still the same. We've put a lot of energy as church to gather together online. We put a lot of energy to allow people back into the building. These aren't simple tasks because we appreciate and value meeting with one another, even if that's on live stream. We should keep meeting together. In emphasizing our scattered lives, we don't want to suggest that our gathered lives are somehow not important. In fact, it's a place where we're reminded of our core values, of our faith. And if this is the community, this ultimately is the community that will help us grow and remain faithful to our calling. It will affirm the significance of what we do through Monday to Saturday. Our meeting together is vital for our walk with God in our everyday. It's central to our spiritual disciplines. The gathered worship life of the church is where we teach each other, where we learn together, where we guide each other, where we equip each other, encourage, love, commission one another to live in this amazing world God has placed us. When we are allowed to gather together again, whenever that might be, we might need to change how we do things. We might need to change, you might need to change how you do things. It's been a real joy to be able to have a live stream service, but they aren't complete unless we are gathering together. This is a good substitution, but it's not the substitution. We are called to gather with one another. All our habits have changed over the last year. Many, I'm sure, are maybe even still in their jammies watching the live stream this morning. Many are desperate to get back to the old ways. Some maybe enjoyed some of the new ways. We will need wisdom to discern together how we can start meeting together again. What does it really mean to be the gathered church? Now we've all shared this experience over this last year and the years to come. It then is all of our responsibilities to play our part in the spiritual life of our church. God has given us all gifts and abilities to share with one another. It's not just down to me. It's a collective community. So as we're scattered now, we all deep down acknowledge that our gathered life, our community life, is what we need to spur and encourage each other. As we draw this series to a close, there's an opportunity just to commission ourselves to look back at where we've been over the last 5 weeks and to think where we go as a church. So Claire's going to lead us through a short prayer of commissioning.
Good morning. So the commissioning prayer. As followers of Jesus Christ, will you embrace your front lines as places of possibility and potential in the purposes of God? Will you believe that God is already at work in these places? And will you give yourself unreservedly to his purposes, in you and through you, wherever you are? If you'd like to respond, with the help of God, we will. Will you trust God with the big things and the small things that you do day by day and seek to make all that you do on your front lines a part of your worship to him? Will you learn to rely on him, his power, his love and his grace, whatever you do? With the help of God, we will. As sons and daughters of your Heavenly Father, will you believe that your value, your worth, your significance and your life on the front line flow first from this identity? Will you embrace the joy and freedom of being a child of God, whoever you are? With the help of God, we will. As the body of Christ, will you commit to encouraging and helping one another flourish in Christ and be fruitful on your front lines? Will you learn to be the people of God, gathered and scattered, helping one another to make all the difference in the world? With the help of God, we will. Now I'll hand back to Martin.
Thank you, Claire. We're going to hand back over to Sarah, who's going to lead us in a time of sung worship. Thank you, Sarah.
Through the places, ground and soul.
Thank you, Sarah and Mark and Carol and Lorraine as well. I'm glad you could be leading us in our time of worship. A few prayer requests, and one of them just seems to have disappeared. I saw it and then it vanished. let us pray. Lord God, we pray for Alan and Megan Barker as they depart for Nepal. We also pray for Diane Basington's friend Mandy. She's pastoring at a care home in Southend, Essex, for the extra care and strength for residents and staff. We pray for all the friends and family of Kate Gaisley as we take the funeral in over a week's time. We pray for the small little family that she had in nieces and nephews, and for her close friends as well. We pray that that would be a fitting opportunity to give thanks for Kate's life. And Lord God, as we think about our whole fellowship, whatever life looks like this morning, I pray that we might know the love of your voice. We might see something of your heart in our surroundings, whether we are with many or whether we're by ourselves. Lord God, I thank you that you speak to us. Thank you that you love us. And I pray that you would bind us together as a church community. Amen. Just love to pray a final prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of this community. We commend one another to you on our different front lines. Wherever we are, whatever we do, whoever we are, may the Holy Spirit guide us in all things so that we may do God's will in this world, in the service of Jesus Christ, and with great joy. Amen. God bless. We'll be back this time next week. Looking at our verse for the year, a little bit delayed, but we've got there. It's also communion, so please do remember that. But God bless and take care.